All right, guys, I'd like for you to turn in your Bibles to Mark chapter 7. Now, we have been going through the Gospel of Mark. Our whole purpose in going through the Gospel of Mark is to really get to know Jesus. Because we can make assumptions, we can come up with ideas about how he acts and what he doesn't do and what he should be doing, and sometimes miss the real Jesus. Like, can you really miss Jesus? Yeah, I think you can really miss what he's focused in on. In fact, the passage that we're going to look at today, because we're going to focus in on verses 1 through 23, is going to focus in on a group of people who came because they've heard about Jesus, they've heard about the amazing things that he's doing, and they're coming to, quote, check him out. But the problem is that they immediately start finding fault. Why? Because in their mind, they've already decided the way things need to be. They've decided on what is the way to approach God, what is the way to live their lives. And when they're coming in contact with Jesus, he is very unconventional. He doesn't operate the way people think he should operate. Did you understand what I'm saying? And so therefore, they're pretty judgmental and rejecting. And I thought, man, this is a great time to hit this part in Mark 7. Because it's really easy for you and I, especially if we've been walking with Jesus for a long time. So I have been a believer now 41 years. And I like to think that I haven't developed these patterns of what a person should do and what they shouldn't do. I'd like to think that I'm kind of like what Jesus is wanting us to be like. But the reality is, when I was reading this passage, I realized you're a lot like these guys who are critical. Because you've developed certain things that you do, and you've made them almost as important as the scripture as far as how you approach God. In fact, you might even look down on others, George, who don't do it the way you do it. Wow, that's a pretty big confession, George. Yeah, but the fact is we all do it, right? So it's not like I'm standing up here by myself making a confession that we don't all do. Where traditions mean something more important than what Jesus wants. And it's funny because sometimes we get caught up in that. So I was just thinking, you know, of course I've been here now over 25 years. And so I was just thinking about different people that have come, and you know, I've met them during the week and I've encouraged them to come to the church. And so they come the first time and then they'll tell me, oh, you know, when I was young, I went to this church over here, over there in this part of the county. And obviously I could tell they're looking for God, okay? They're looking for God. And then they'll come and they've sat there and I'm glad to see you today. And they don't say anything. They kind of go through the service. And then when the service is over, I'll see them during the week. And I've had them say to me, not what I expected. Okay, what did you expect? The service I went to 30 years ago at that little church in some part of the county, that's what I was wanting. Okay, yeah, but I don't know what that service was, and probably we're never going to be that. But what about God? Do you see what I'm saying? What mattered to them was the tradition or the form. And we're going to see that today, because what I want you to see is that when we talk about Jesus, we're talking about something new. He wants to do something new in our lives. And in your relationship with him, he wants to do something new. So we're going to look at it, and we're going to talk about traditions, and we're going to talk about what really matters. So I want you to notice with me. Let's start with verse 1. We're going to go through verse 23. Now when the Pharisees gathered to him with some of the scribes who had come from Jerusalem, they saw that some of his disciples ate with hands that were defiled, that is, unwashed. For the Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they wash their hands properly, holding to the tradition of the elders. And when they come from the marketplace, they do not eat unless they wash. And there are many other traditions that they observe, such as the washing of cups and pots and copper vessels and dinner couches. And the Pharisees and the scribes asked him, "Why do your disciples not walk according to the tradition of the elders, but eat with defiled hands?" And he said to them, Well did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites, as it is written, 'This people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrine the commandments of men.' You leave the commandment of God and hold to the tradition of men." And he said to them, "You have a fine way of rejecting the commandment of God in order to establish your tradition. For Moses said, 'Honor your father and your mother, and whoever reviles father and mother must surely die.' But you say, 'If a man tells his father and mother, whatever you have, whatever you would have gained from me is korban, that is, given to God,' then you are no longer permit you. Then you no longer permit him to do anything for his father and mother, thus making void the word of God by your tradition that you've handed down, and many such things you do." He called the people to him and said to them, "Hear all of you and understand. There is nothing outside a person that by going into him can defile him. But the things that come out of the person are what defile him. And when he entered the house and left the people, his disciples asked him about the parable. And he said to them, 'Then are you also without understanding? Do you not see that whatever goes into a person from outside cannot defile him, since it enters not his heart, but his stomach, and is expelled?' Thus he declared all foods clean. And he said, 'What comes out of a person is what defiles him. From within, out of the heart of man, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, coveting, wickedness, deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within, and they defile a person.'" All right, so let's talk about this, folks. Let's take a look at it. We're going to divide this passage into four sections. We're going to talk about traditions. And I'd like to say we have traditions here as well. Some of them are okay, but let's be honest. What's more important is God's word. We're going to see that. We're going to see the question that they ask. There's a reason why they ask it. And then we're going to look at the issue of what honoring God is about, and then what ultimately results in acceptance with him. So let's talk about traditions. When we look at this passage, I want you to realize that we're talking about a group of people who have come to some sort of conclusion that they understand and know everything about God. That's where these Pharisees were at. That's where these scribes were at. And so because of that, the way they do things held precedent. The way they do things was more important than anything else. So two things I want you to see here. Look with me, first of all, verses 1 and 2. Here's what the passage says. They saw, verse 2, that some of the disciples ate with their hands that were defiled, that is unwashed. All right, so what's going on here? Religious people are quick to judge others. Religious people are quick to render judgment on someone. I hate to say this because I look back at my younger life. When I first got saved, I went to a small independent Baptist fundamentalist church in West Columbia, South Carolina. And I'd like to think that back then, that was normal. But I look back on it now and I would say I was pretty wound tight. Pretty judgmental of people. What do you mean? Well, what Bible they carried was important. How long their hair was. That guy showed up with a beard. Do you believe that? You tell I've come a long way from then, right? The outward things that had more to do with traditions than with God's word. Avoiding places like not going to a restaurant that had a bar. Why? Not because I was going to the bar, but I didn't want to be in a place that had a bar because the bar is wrong, so therefore don't go there. You know what I'm talking about. Don't go to a movie theater. This is before streaming. This is where you go to a movie theater. Why? Because you're supporting, chapter and verse, I don't know, but you're supporting Hollywood and you shouldn't do that. Did you understand? These things became important and we judged each other by them. We were quick to judge others. Why? Because of our, quote, traditions. So here are some guys, they come up and they're used to washing their hands over everything. And they show up and they're looking and they're noticing that Jesus' disciples, they're not doing what the elders told them to do. They're just, oh, there's a sandwich, they grab it and eat it. This is the reality. The second thing I want you to see here, look with me at verses 3 and 4, that I want you to see here, they develop practices to maintain some level of acceptance with God. They developed daily habits that in their mind provided them with some sort of assurance that they were okay with God. We said, that's kind of ridiculous, George. Would people do that? Yeah. Yeah, I'd almost wonder if you do that. So for instance, you have a normal week that's happening and you've got things that are going on, but normally here's how you start your week. You get up early in the morning and you decide, well, I'm going to read my Bible or I'm going to do my YouVersion Bible app and then I'm going to pray. And that's how I normally start my week, okay? That's what I normally do. Maybe that's where you're at. But this week blows up on you. Maybe something happens, something traumatic happens and you're just trying to fight for sleep. And so you sleep in longer than normal because you were up late at night. Maybe you're at the hospital or something, or maybe something else is happening. And then you look at your daily schedule of what you normally do. And for a whole week, you don't do it because you don't have time to do it. The world just fell apart on you. How many of you wrestle with thoughts later that say, I must not be right with God anymore? He must not be happy with me because I didn't do my normal ritual. I didn't spend time with him in prayer. I didn't spend time reading 5 chapters, a proverb, and a psalm. Do you see what I'm saying? The things that we set up in our mind as these traditions that we have to keep in order to maintain some level of acceptance with God. That's what these guys were used to. But then they come to Jesus' disciples and they're not bound by that. They can't handle it. In fact, that results in a twofold question. So that's what we see in verse 5. Look at the question. It's actually two parts. Look at what it says. They say, and the Pharisees and the scribes asked him, why do your disciples not walk according to the tradition of elders, but eat with defiled hands? Two parts here. What's going on? First of all, why don't they accept the established practices? Jesus, don't you know these traditions that were passed down from one rabbi after another for hundreds of years? We're doing this. It's been tried and true. This is the way we operate. This is how we approach God. This is how we maintain our... Because remember, with a Jew, the most important thing is that they remain clean before God so that they can go to the temple and make their sacrifices, not be unclean. That, you know, these are the things that we've done for centuries, Jesus. Why do your people don't even bother with the traditions? Why? This is what they don't understand. Because in their mind, true spirituality is measured in keeping this list of things that constantly change. So I was reminded of that because here in the last year and a half, I had to go to a funeral for one of my dad's brothers. At that time, he had two remaining siblings, and my Uncle Charlie died, and so I had to go down to his funeral. And so I have one aunt who's left, and they originally all went to this little, it's not little, it's a big Baptist church in their part of Pitt County near Greenville, North Carolina. And I remember when I first got saved, going to a service with them, and I was shocked, okay, going up to walk up the steps into the church, and all of these deacons from the church were on the front of the church smoking cigarettes, getting their puff in before they went into the service. And I remember being shocked at that because I was living in Columbia, South Carolina, 5 hours away, totally different value system there. There, smoking was not allowed at all. Look, you wouldn't do that as a good Christian. But here I am with this group of Christians, and they're smoking. You want to know why? Pitt County is one of the biggest counties for growing tobacco. And most of the folks who went to that church were what? Tobacco farmers. So guess what they're not going to talk about there? Smoking. Moved up here with Lori. Her dad's a swimming pool salesman. I just came from a place where we don't do mixed bathing. Now, what is that, George? Mixed bathing. Men and women swimming together. Why did they call it that? I don't know why they called it, you know, but then I come up here and I go to their church, her church, and everybody's got a swimming pool. And guess what they're having? A pool party at the church. Do you see what I'm saying? Traditions. Things that we set up. And then we wonder why we don't have everybody following them. I once heard a pastor say that if you got everybody together from all over, all the pastors from all over the United States together in a meeting and try to come up with a set of rules that all of us would adhere to, it would be World War III. We wouldn't agree with each other over our traditions. So why don't you accept these things, Jesus? Here's the second question they ask. Why won't they make an effort to be acceptable with God? Now, isn't that an assumption on their part? They're looking and saying, because they're not following the traditions, they're thinking, why don't they wash their hands? Meaning they'll be acceptable with God. Why won't they do that? That's a big assumption, isn't it? But see, here Jesus, though, this is how he responds to them. It is amazing to me sometimes when Jesus responds, he doesn't play around. He gets right to the issue. He gets right to the heart of the matter about what's really going on. And so that's what we're going to focus on these last two sections. We're going to look at the whole issue of honoring God, what really honors him, and then what acceptance is. And here's what we're going to see. So first thing I want you to notice is God's not honored by man-made practices. He's not honored by that. Not at all. When you look at verse 6 and 7, he says, "Well did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites, as it is written, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching the doctrines, the commandments, as doctrines, the commandments of men.'" So he's basically saying, you're doing all this stuff, but the reality is while you're doing this and saying all this, your heart's not where it should be. It's not. I'm not honored by the stuff you do. I'm honored by your heart towards me. That's what the issue is here. It's the reality of what really matters to him. Do you remember the incident that happened all the way over in 1 Samuel? God told, through the prophet Samuel, he told King Saul, "I want you to wipe out the Amalekites." And back then, that's how they did it. They go and wipe out the Amalekites. But Saul, when the men do that, they actually don't wipe out all the Amalekites and everything they had. They actually kept the king alive and kept all the animals. Because it's an agrarian culture, and cattle and sheep and everything are very important. And that's a measure of wealth. So Samuel shows up and says, "What's going on here?" And Saul says, "I've kept the commandment of God. I've done what he told me to do." And then here's what Samuel says. Very sarcastic. You can read it in the passage. "Then what am I hearing this bleeding in my ears? The bleeding of sheep. Well, what's this I'm hearing? What's this I'm hearing?" Then he tells Saul this. "To obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams." It's not what you do as far as your religious activity. It's your obedience to me with your heart, doing what I told you to do. This is what honoring him is. This is what honoring him is. And here's the reality. So here's the, there's a common tendency to prioritize practices over God's word. There comes a time where what we're told to do becomes more important than what God's word says. In fact, here's what they did. He brings up this issue that would be very important to them. He says, God's word says that you're to honor your father and mother. That is, you're to honor them, and anyone who despises his father and mother is worthy of death. So that really means you need to take care of your father and mother. But he said, now here's what you guys do. You decide that the money you have to take care of them, you decide you're going to say korban, or it's given to God. So what that means is, okay, let's say, I'll use my mother as an illustration. She's down in South Carolina. She just recently had some medical issues. My sister calls me up and says, "George, we kind of need your help a little bit with some buying some things to take care of Mom. What do you say, George? Will you do it?" And I say, "Well, you know, Trish," my sister's name's Patricia, we call her Trish. I say, "Trish, I'd like to, but you don't understand. I've already dedicated my salary this month to God. And I can't take from what's God to help Mom out." That's what they were doing. Korban, it's God. And so with that, they made an excuse to keep them from what they were supposed to do. This is where tradition becomes more important than commandment. Their tendency was just to find the loopholes. And by the way, have you noticed that a lot of our traditions find the loopholes? If we just keep those, then we don't really have to go after what God really tells us, right? But this is what Jesus is pointing out here. So here's what I want you to see. When we talk about acceptance, verse 14 through 19, it's not outside things or practices that make you unacceptable to God. It's not outside things. That's not the issue of what makes you unacceptable to God. It's what's inside. In fact, that's what I want you to see here. It is the actions that come from the heart that make you unacceptable. It's not the stuff that you do, where you go, or anything that doesn't make you unacceptable. It's the stuff that comes out of your heart. It's the stuff that you communicate to people. You can be with a group of people who say they are Christians, they dress the right way, they go to church, they do all the right things, go to everything, and then when you watch how they treat other people, you're like, whoa, there's a disconnect here. There's something going on here. Why are they that mean? Why are they that rude? I'm telling you, there's a disconnect there. What's honoring to God is not that they look right and do the right things. What's honoring to God is what comes out of their life. What comes out of their heart. What comes out of them towards others. That's what God looks on. He looks at the heart, not the outward appearance or actions. That's what makes what Jesus is bringing to us something new. Okay, so let's wrap this up. What do we do with this, George? Well, it raises a big question for us, okay? First of all, let's realize that our acceptance with Christ is not because of us, right? Everybody realize that? It's because of what Jesus did for us on the cross. And we come to him by faith, embracing that salvation for ourselves, right? So somewhere along the line, we've got to quit thinking in terms of that somehow I've got to maintain my acceptance with him by doing certain things. Did you understand what I'm saying? Because it's not what you do that makes you acceptable with him. It's the condition of your heart. Because out of that same heart comes who you really are, comes the actions that truly reflect who you are. Did you understand what I'm saying? And so Jesus didn't focus on whether or not they cleaned their hands. He focused on whether or not they were doing what he told them to do and whether or not they were following him with all of their heart. That's really the issue for you and I. Is he who he really is? Is my attention and my focus there? Something for you and I to think about. Let's pray.